Siyata Deshmaya last week, we spoke about being Mevater. And I saw Shem Yishmuel on this week's Parsha that really brings out the point quite beautifully. And the Siyata Deshmaya, I'd like to dig a lot deeper in that concept and what it tells us about Avodas Hashem. In the beginning of Baal Loischa, in Perek Ches, the entire Perek describes taking the Levim in place of the Bechorim to serve Klal Yisrael in the Mishkan. And there is an exchange between Klal Yisrael and the Levim. And the Levim bring Karbanos. But the Pasuk also says that there's a Kapara for Bnei Yisrael. And there's no mention of a Karban. So Shem Yishmuel asks, why is there no mention for the Karban? At the end of the day, the Levim bring a Karban, it serves their Kapara, but Klal Yisrael doesn't have a Karban. And the Shem Yishmuel quotes a Medrash in the beginning of Bamidbar, and he says that the Kapara does not require a Karban. Because the Medrash describes that Klal Yisrael, when they appointed the Levim, appointed the Levim be'ayin tov. They appointed them, and they accepted them, and they loved them, similar to the way Aaron HaKohen goes out to accept Moshe Rabbeinu v'rochav v'samach libo. And that, the Shem Yishmuel says, the ayin tova is the greatest kapara that a person could have. So l'chaper al bnei Yisrael, the kapara was achieved through an ayin tov. And ayin tov is necessary for a person to be mevater, to forego. My wife told me a story. I guess we're now in shiduchim for our children. So my wife told me the story that there was once an amazing story she heard from an official shechter, that there was once a fellow who had a disagreement, a business disagreement with somebody else, and there was a sum of money that was involved, and he decided that he was going to let go. He wasn't going to fight over that sum of money. A couple years later, his son tells him that he's going out with a girl and they're very serious. And sure enough, it was the daughter of the person that he had the disagreement with. And then his son told him that their parents are so fine that they're offering X amount of dollars for the apartment, the wedding, whatever it might be, different cultures, different strokes, different folks. And it turned out it was the exact same number. So not only did he get his money back, there was shalom, and ultimately the two families joined together. I have a similar story to that, not with shiduchim. I wouldn't believe the story unless it happened to me. Maisa Shehaya. I said this story years ago here in the Beis Medrash. This is the Maisa Shehaya. Was one of my longest trips to the States, and I was away from home for 2 weeks, and I decided I was going to buy my wife a gift, a bigger gift than usual on the way home. Thankfully, I don't know jewelry, but my last stop was my sister's home in Cleveland, so my sister went with me to the jewelry store. We picked out a piece of jewelry for my wife. So I went up to the salesperson to pay for the jewelry, and she rang it up $100 cheaper than it was. So I said to her, I think it's $100 more. She said, no, it's on sale. She said, you know what, let me check. She checked and she came back. She didn't give me a discount. She said, you're right, it's not on sale. It's $100 more. As I was getting on the plane, a day later, I get onto a half-empty LL flight, and I'm walking towards my seat, and this big, burly Israeli fellow is sitting spread out on three seats, my seat as well. And I say to him, I'm sorry. He says, you're supposed to sit here? He says to me in an accented English. I said, yes. He pulls out a $100 bill. I'm not making this up. He pulls out a $100 bill and he gives it to me. He says, sit over there. You don't play with these guys. He says, sit over there and don't say anything. So sure enough, I go and I sit over there. Then I look back at my ticket. And my ticket was he had sent me to my actual seat. So I go back to him, I say, I'm not entitled to $100. You actually sent me to my seat. And he says, I came on the plane with $200, and I was going to tell people where to sit and where I was going to sit, and you go back and sit over there and just keep quiet. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me back $100. May I say, Shaya, that's exactly what happened to me. At the core, Vitur is about hispatlus. Is about a person saying, you know what, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want me to take this $100, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to find a way. And sometimes we don't get back those $100, and sometimes $100,000 that we don't always get back. But at the end of the day, as I said, someone showed me, one of the boys sent me the exact same line from Rav Shteinman, Baruch Shekivanti. The Rav Shteinman said those exact words, a person that's mevater never, ever, ever loses. But Rabbosai, there's something a lot deeper that I want to talk about, that gets at the core of many things about Bein Adam L'Chaveru and Bein Adam Vein Atzmo. I want to share with you an Avodas Yisrael, that's the Magid Mikoshnitz in Parshas Noyach. He describes the following, a basic yisod in Bria. Ki kibalnu mirabo yiseinu, ein lecha dover nivra she'ena murkav me'arba yisoidos. There is nothing in the world that's not based on four different elements that are conflicting. And they are Eish Ruach Mayim Ofer Vehem Yisoides Misnagdim. Ki Mayim Mechad Me'esh. Fire and water don't go together. Yet the world is based, however you explain, it's not important now, is based on these four elements. And what happens? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Oise Shalom Bimroimov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world intentionally with opposite forces, with opposite interests. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands those opposite forces to live and coexist and thrive with each other. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted conflict in this world in the positive sense. He points out that that's the angels, Michael and Gabriel. Oseh Shalom B'mramav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes peace. There's Michael, who is the Midah of Chesed, and there's the Midah of Gabriel. Yet they seem, on the one hand, to clash together, but what makes them all work together? What allows Eish and Mayim to coexist? It's that they're mevatel themselves to the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They allow themselves to stop where HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells them to stop, and they progress further when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells them to go. And that's an amazing, amazing thing. That's called a dialectic. A dialectic means that you have two opposite things in the world that are there, and that's good for the world. But if each one of those forces recognize their place, and they use their energies when they're supposed to, and they stop when they're supposed to, that is Oseh Shalom B'mroimav, that is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's koach that he puts into the world. An example, a practical example in Avodas Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to have conflicting components that are actually find a way to have peace inside of ourselves. Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem. We're commanded on the one hand to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we're commanded to fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And those are fascinating ideas. Two almost opposite type of concepts. Now, Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal wrote about this. The fellows who are familiar with Rav Soloveitchik's writings, Vamevin Yovin, Rav Soloveitchik spoke about this in detail, both in terms of Jewish philosophy and theology. And that I don't think I need to elaborate on, and that you could look at in other places. But I do think that if we think about it, that concept of being able to have a force, to be able to have a desire to pursue something, yet at the same time to recognize that there's a bitul hayeshus, that there's a time that a person has to be mevatel his ratzon, even though he thinks that he's right. That's the kunz. Even when he thinks that he's right. But v'alachta bidrachav says that he's supposed to be mevater, that's the idea where a person pushes and pushes and pushes, and then at a certain moment he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to stop over here. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants there to be different tensions in the world. But what Shalom is about is the recognition that at a time where it reaches that my own ego is getting involved, it's no longer about simply being a force in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world, is the ability for a person to be mevatel his yeshus. The most obvious application of this Avodas Yisrael is in the Siv HaShalom, and he speaks about it in regards to unity in Klal Yisrael. He says there are 12 Shvatim in Klal Yisrael, in Amud Lamed Zayin in Sefer Bamidbar. He says, but Mashmos Nasa V'Nishma, we spoke about Nasa V'Nishma last week, he is Spatlus Gemura LaHashem Yisparech. V'Haderech LaHasig Zos Al Yidei HaMida Shal HaShalom Ki Avoda LaHagia LaShalom Hi His Spatlus. In other words, each Shevet is supposed to push what he's supposed to do out of self. But then there's a moment in which he has to make a cheshbon when it conflicts with somebody else, when there is a tension with somebody else. Is this the, am I acting like a malach? Am I pushing chesed to the point that Michal does, but when there's a conflict with Gavriel, I stop because Gavriel is also on a mission? Or he doesn't have that pitul ayeshus. And all machlokas starts from that. All machlokas starts from where there is a desire and there's a rutzel, and it might come from a good place. But the ability for a person to stop and ask themselves, how much of this is what I'm supposed to be doing? I'm supposed to be buying my wife a present. I'm supposed to be doing this. But wait a second. Is this conflict really, really part of what I'm supposed to be doing? Or is there a little bit of negius? And this applies to Machlokas and Klal Yisrael as well. There are 12 Shvatim. There are different styles. Laniyas Daiti. There's a need for this stream in Avodas Hashem. You could fill in the blank however you would like. There's a need for this stream in Avodas Hashem. There's a need for this stream of Avodas Hashem. And each one is supposed to push their agenda, what they think is correct, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into them. But then there has to be a recognition, wait. When is this the Ratzon Hashem that's pushing me, it's propelling me? And when is there a Yeshus? There's my own personal ego, or my Shevet's own personal ego and identity. That's obvious, Rabbi Osai, but it's so important. Let's go even deeper. There's a dialectic not only in terms of the kolchos of Klal Yisrael, there's a dialectic that exists in our relationships. What I'm about to say is something quite deep. And this is a key in relationships in Bein Adam L'Chaveru. So many times, people get stuck in their closest relationships with their parents, with their spouses, with their siblings, and a certain tension within the relationship causes, chas v'chalila, an entire fissure, an entire break in that relationship. Let me give you an example. A person could have a negative component in their relationship with their parents. Could have negative feelings. I could tell you as a parent, no parent is perfect. I could point to mistakes. I hope I didn't do many, but I could point to mistakes that I had in chinuch of my children. Let's say you have a parent that was too critical of a child. How many children are now estranged from their parents because they have a taina, a legitimate complaint against their parents about something that they did in their lives? What the ability of a dialectic allows, what the ability of this yisod of being mevater allows, is not to negate that which the parent has done wrong. What a client, lahavdil from Musar, but it's relevant, what a client will go through in therapy who's working on that is the ability to hold on to the fact that their parent did something wrong to them, but at the same time to hold on to the fact that they have so much love and appreciation to that parent. How many relationships between parents and children, how much pain, how much distance, how much suffering comes from the fact that people can't let go of those things that are legitimate, complaints that are legitimate, able to hold on to both of those realities, to hold on to both of those truths. In the world, there's chesed and there's gevura. In relationships, there are good things and then there are bad things. And you can love and care for a person even though there are components which are deeply flawed. Deeply flawed. The same applies in terms of marriages as well. Baruch Hashem, the Gris couples are still young. I can't imagine yet that there are spouses that have made yet terrible mistakes or significant mistakes. But it's almost guaranteed. In Mirtz Hashem, you'll have marriages of 60, 70, 80, 90 years, v'siyata d'shmaya. People are going to make mistakes. And people are going to make real mistakes, not just small mistakes. People are going to make real mistakes. Not malicious mistakes, but real mistakes that might even come from shortcomings in their personality. And then there are going to be some couples who are not going to be able to hold on to both. They're not going to be able to hold on to the responsibility and the desire to love and cherish a spouse, yet at the same time accept their spouse's shortcomings or their mistakes. And sometimes just shortcomings, not even mistakes. Oyseh shalom b'mraimav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu shalom is the ability to recognize that there are different things and different components that are going on that sometimes are even conflicting. Some people could be mevater on money, but they can't be mevater on the shortcomings of others. And their lives become miserable. This idea of being mevater is not just about saying, okay, I'll pass off the $100. This idea of being mevater is something a lot deeper. It's at the core of a lot of what psychology, lahavdil, is today, or maybe not even to say lahavdil, of what emistic psychology of Avodas Hashem is today, and it's at the core of what Ben Adam L'Chaver is all about, is to recognize that human relationships are complex, and we don't have to, God forbid, throw out the baby the bath water. And then on the last level, and this is probably the deepest, within yourself. To be mevater to yourself. There's a dialectic within a person himself. There's a superficial component of it, which is very important to a lot of boys who are changing and growing. Don't be too hard on yourself that you still like those things that you liked when you were a teenager. I'm not talking about the trefa things. You have to be soft on yourself also about slowly getting rid of them. But what about those things? Now you value Talmud Torah. You now value Chesed. You now value Dveikus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it's true that if you're like me, the sound of a baseball against a bat creates a rush. To this day, when I pass by an area that has a crowd and there's a noise, the first thing I feel is a rush of walking into the stadium of a baseball game. Is that the ultimate value? No, but that's part of me. They say, of course, Rav Scheinberg Zatzal, you know, he said that his simcha for the Yankees existed into his 60s or his 70s. So we still have a little bit of time for ourselves. That dialectic is also valid. To be mevater to yourself, you have to know where you're going. You have to know where you're coming from. You have to be realistic. But on an even deeper level. And that is, if a person holds himself in contempt for his shortcomings, then chas v'chalila, if he's not mevater to himself, then there's a tremendous amount of yeyush that could set in. None of you know who I'm talking about, but a week or two ago I was sitting with a Talmud from a long, long time ago. And the Talmud was entirely miyuash. I was sitting in front of someone whose pain was so deep, his self-deprecation was so profound, because he couldn't look past a certain shortcoming of himself. And it was one shortcoming that he hasn't found a way out of, a real shortcoming. But he wasn't able to hold on to all the other milos. He wasn't able to be honest. There are some people who hold on to their milus and can't hold on to their chesaron. And then there's many, many people, probably more, who only hold on to their chesronos and don't hold on to their milus. And the yeyush that kicks in is so, so, so deep. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to live with our shortcomings. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to look forward to the time of tshuva, but in the meantime, until that tshuva could take place, or sometimes not even an avera. Sometimes just the way we were programmed or the way we were made. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to embrace, to be mevater to ourselves. This Talmud was miyuash in the context of dating. It's a shortcoming that he had vis-a-vis dating. My father, Shlita, married my mother at age 34. And my father was never miyayish. My father describes to me how painful it was that every night, he lived on the Upper West Side, every night he would sit in a restaurant by himself, almost every single night. By the way, you can't say a bad word about Shlomo Kalbach to my father, because my father described that one night he was sitting by himself in the restaurant, and Reb Shlomo came in with all his entourage on the Upper West Side, and he ran over to my father and he gave him a big hug. My father said he still feels that hug to this day. My father said that one time when he went out, he finally had a date with a girl, and he went to meet the father. In the old days, the father would check out the boy beforehand. So the father came to the door, and he met him. He asked my father a few questions, and he said to my father, "It's raining outside." My father looked outside, and it was a sunny, it was a beautiful day. So my father got very confused. He said, "Sunny?" He said, no, it's raining outside." And so the guy was trying to tell my father in a not nice way. My poor father was so tormented. He was so confused. It took him like 4 times to realize that the guy was telling him that he doesn't want him to date his daughter in a very, very backhanded way. But my father never hit the point of Yeush. And my father is the last descendant of my great-grandfather of people who are religious. In other words, the whole Shalshelis, it goes all the way up to Avraham Avinu. My father was the last one. The only one that was remained from the Nazis, and his brother and sister are not religious. We can never, never be miyayish, and we should always be mevater on those shortcomings ourselves, to ourselves. That does not mean, of course, as you understand what I'm saying, that does not mean for a person to say, I don't have to work on myself, I don't have to grow. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us a siyata d'shmaya. To be mevater to others, to be mevater to ourselves, to hold on to the beautiful dialectic of Oisei Shalom B'mroimav, and thereby make shalom within ourselves, make shalom within our own relationships, make shalom within Klal Yisrael, and bizoche, and we will see nisim, that you will never lose if you're mevater. A good Shabbos.